That's started. Shabbat Shalom. And now we'll start the video. It's right here. And we are started again for another time, another study. And I'll put the study up, which is right here. Shabbat Shalom. Amen. And you might say, what are these guys doing blowing these little skinny silver trumpets, right? What is this all about? Well, you have to go to Numbers chapter 10 and look in Numbers chapter 10, and they blew the silver trumpets to summon the congregation. So maybe they're coming around the mountain soon, but we hope they do. Anyway, we're one of Messiah congregation, Kahal HaBemashiach in Hebrew. That's what that says. We're just a piece, a part of the congregation of Israel, just a little piece. And it's Adat Yisrael and Shabbat Shalom to everyone. So let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this day in Yeshua's name. Heavenly Father, Master of the universe, Creator of all things, first we always ask you to cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot, anything that's incorrect in our minds, hearts, and souls, and give us only the truth. That's all we desire. Bless and anoint this day in Yeshua's name, this Sabbath. Send down the shalom of the Lord upon everyone here. Send down healing and strength, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the fear of God. May your Holy Spirit be right in the midst of us, the Ruach HaKadosh. And may God bless everyone here and everyone on the internet and everyone that will hear this message on the archived servers in the future. Bless this day. Bless everything we do, the reading of your word, the message today, the conversations. Let everything be to the glory of the living God, to the edifying of the body. Encamp your angels round and about us. Caution us from any evil. We thank and praise you, Lord and God, that you're on your throne and you're aware of everything. And I thank God for the blood of the Messiah. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And may God bless everyone out there. Our messages are being recorded right now. Right now, we are actually, with this little microphone right here, we're streaming all around the world, so people are seeing us right now. So I give them a little wave, and that's that. Anyway, it's very nice to be here. Today we're still in the group. We use the Gregorian calendar, if everyone's familiar with that. Pope Gregory is still running the show. Matter of fact, Pope Gregory just had a new year. So now it's 2015, right? And today's January 3rd. But if you don't know, here's what January means, unfortunately. January comes from Janus, the Roman god of gates and doorways, depicted by two faces looking in opposite directions. And we say January like it's no big deal, but that's where it comes from. Matter of fact, I was checking out some of the calendars a couple of weeks ago, and some of the calendars only had 10 months until somebody just felt like making two more gods. They threw more gods in there, so we have January and February. And it's really, but nowadays, you know, nobody knows the difference. This goes January 3rd, you know, whatever. However, we have uncovered God's calendar, and God has his own calendar in the Bible, and God's new year is in the spring, when everything's new again. And you can find that in Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, Jehovah spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It's the Rosh Hashanah. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So if you want to know what God's new year is, it's in Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And of course, that's right before Passover, and it's called Ha'aviv, or in English, Abib, or Nisan. It's the Ha'aviv means the newness of the barley harvest, and the name of it's Nisan. But Pope Gregory's got us doing it in January, when everything's dead and frozen in most places, and you look outside and you go, wow, there's nothing new, everything's dead. But God's new year is in the spring when everything starts growing again. The grass starts growing, the flowers, you know, you feel better. But no one knows about that because they didn't read Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. We are now in the 10th month of God called Tevet, and it's the 11th day of, that's what it really is. It's really the 10th month of God, and it's the 11th day. And you can find that in the book of Esther chapter 2, verse 16. There's the month Tevet, the 10th month. This is Tevet. Okay? Everybody's familiar with that, right? My ministry is a teaching ministry to bring up topics in the Bible that have never been discussed or mentioned in your life. That's what my ministry is all about. Most of the things have been deleted. Most people never heard of God has his own calendar, God has his own feast, God has his own Sabbath, God has his own foods to eat, not to eat. God has so many other things. Most people never heard of that. They've been deleted from your knowledge and from your schooling, I suspect. And I'm trying to undelete just a few for you, so you could try to put these in focus for you, so you could ponder them, consider them in the Bible. If you missed me in the last 14 years, my website is still running back there, and you could go to these links right here. You could read the studies, you could listen to them, you could watch them now, and you could download them to your MP3 players. So I try to make everything available. If you're not in town, you can do this right here, this little program right here called Pal Talk. That's what we're on right now. You could download that to your computer. It doesn't work too well on Apple computers, but it seems to work on the phones, right? Apple phones? Anyway, if you have a real player, you could put this website into your real player, and you could actually see me right now live. But you have to put the MMS. It's not HTTP, it's MMS. But that's what works in Real Player. And then, of course, I always wanted to do the more personal thing, like to come to visit you if you are, you know, if you ever desire someone to come, I'd be glad to come. There's a link there, it shows you what it takes to get me to show up. Everything I do is free, I don't get paid for anything, so I'll be glad to show up. Okay? Anyway, today's topic, I just want to talk a little bit about behavior, personality, and attributes of a true believer. Okay? Just a little bit. I'm not going to talk too much. That's what you think. Remember, I'm from New York. We like to talk. So we're going to try to emulate God, right? So what does that mean? It tried to equal or excel or imitate with effort to equal or surpass. In other words, we're going to try our best to really be like take on God's attributes. And the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Isn't that nice? In a world that's full of chaos and confusion, blessed are the peacemakers, you know, people that make peace. So behavior, what is that exactly? I guess it's, we see David behaved himself wisely in all ways, and Jehovah was with him. So the way you carry yourself is your behavior, you know. Be of good courage and let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people and for the cities of our God. And let Jehovah do that which is good in his sight. And I put a few verses down about, you know, behavior. But being your behavior in God is very important. We don't follow any churches. We left all the churches. We left all the Protestantisms. We left all the Judaisms. We left all the Messianics. And we are just a little piece of the Israel of God that have not, we don't carry any traditions with us, you know. If you notice, there's no pictures of anything. There's no extra books you got to read of somebody's commentaries. Or we read strictly. We verified which Bible to read in English. If you read English, we read the King James Version, and we have a real Spanish Bible we can show you later. That's the authentic. It's different than most Bibles you might have. We'll show it to you. In Psalm 101, it says, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, Jehovah, or Yehovah, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within thy house with a perfect heart. And that's really important. You know, a lot of people that go, how could I be perfect? You hear that little voice going, no one's perfect. Right? You ever hear that little voice? No one's perfect. Well, that's a lie, because we're not talking about perfect smile or perfect built or perfect personality. We're talking about being perfect in God's commandments. So you can actually examine yourself and go through the commandments. You're either doing it or you're not. And like in computer language, it's either 0 or 1. It's either on or off. You're either in or out. You know what I mean? It's real simple. God makes it talks to us like a child. I love that because you don't have to be, you don't need PhDs and THDs and doctrines and all kinds of philosophies, but God makes everything very simple. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. That's really important. Nowadays, wickedness is prevalent. It's big. It's everywhere. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. That's very important. Wicked people, you know. We know a lot of people that are just flat out sinners, but as far as wicked, there's another step higher in the world of sin, you know, wicked, you know. But blessed are the peacemakers, Yeshua said, for they shall be called the children of God. So try to bring peace and tranquility everywhere you go, as much as you can, you know. Because, I don't know if you watch the news, there's a lot of chaos out there, and murder and suicide and fightings and war, and I don't know if you watch the news, but that's what's going on. So we have this thing called charity, and I always, when I read this chapter, you guys, people that's been with me, I've always associated it with the Messiah, you know, Messiah and his personality and attributes. So if you have your Bible, you could just read with me. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is a letter, Apostle Paul, or Shaul, Paul, Saul was writing a letter to the Corinthians. And I'll wait for you to get there if you like. Saul says, for though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, I am become like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And that's really important. So if you make up all these songs in other languages that nobody knows what you're talking about, they can't really say amen or bless the Lord or nothing because they don't know what you said. So you have to, whoever you're around, you have to always converse where people could understand what's going on. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and I have not the Messiah, charity, I am nothing. Did you know that? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I have not the Messiah, it profits me nothing. Charity is like the Messiah. I'm going to change the word from charity and add the Messiah there. Watch how it sounds. Messiah suffers long. Messiah is kind. Messiah envies not. Messiah vaunteth not itself. Messiah is not puffed up, right? Messiah does not behave himself unseemly. Messiah seeks not his own. Is not easily provoked. Messiah thinks no evil. Messiah rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Messiah, he bore all things, he believes all things of the Father, and he knows all things, and he endured all things. Messiah never fails. And whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. At the moment, we only know in part, you know, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, Messiah, then that which is in part shall be done away. And this is important. Some people don't like to get out of being a child, but you should, because it says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, and I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man or a woman, I put away childish things, you know. For now we see through a glass darkly. That's really the way it really is. But then face to face, we'll see God face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I be known even as also I am known. So God will know, that knows us, will get to know him too. And now abide faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is the Messiah, charity. Isn't that a different way of reading this? You know, that word charity sounds just like Messiah, because it's the same thing. And it's love. And Messiah, God is love. And that's really important. Just that you have to have the right God. That's the only problem. And there's so many different gods out there. So many different Yeshuas out there. So many different Jesuses running around out there. You have to make sure you pick the right one. Because Apostle Paul said at his time there was another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit. So if you go from Apostle Paul's time to our time, it's almost 2,000 years later, there's thousands of other Jesuses to trick you. They look nice, they sound nice, they sing nice, they smile nice, but it's the wrong one. Anyway, Commandments 6 to 10 out of the Ten Commandments, Ten Commandments are in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. That's where the Ten Commandments are. But I just wanted to read you these, right, how you're supposed to honor your neighbor. And who is your neighbor? But the ones that do the will of your Father, which is in heaven. Even though the person next door is my neighbor, I'm not going to do anything that's not moral, or, you know, I'm not going to do anything to them. But at the same time, they're a different type of neighbor, if you understand what I mean. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be prolonged upon the land which Jehovah thy God gives you. Now, that's the first commandment with promise. So if you honor your parents, you get longer life. How do you honor your parents? By telling them the truth, by being a testimony before them, by keeping the commandments, by, you know, don't use bad language, don't, you know, do it, you know. Your neighbor says, thou shalt not murder. That word is kill, but it's murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And you could do that spiritually or physically. Okay? Thou shalt not steal. Which sounds very simple, but there's many ways of stealing things. Physically, spiritually, and many ways. There's many depths to a lot of these commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's called lying, right? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy... I don't never covet my neighbor's house. I always think that's more to clean. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his menservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, or his ass, or anything that's your neighbor's. Anything. And I can't imagine anyone here wanting everyone else, you know, I don't look at anyone else's stuff and go, wow, I wish I had that. I'm happy whatever I got, you know. Thou shalt not hate your... Now, this is important. It says, thou shalt not hate your brother or sister in your heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon them. So when you see a brother or sister doing something wrong, you're supposed to rebuke them and tell them, wait a minute, don't do that. It's sin. That's if you love their soul. If you don't love them, just go, oh, keep doing it. But if you love them, it says you're supposed to rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon them. A lot of people don't understand that. They think, oh, that guy's yelling at me. No, we're not yelling at you. We're trying to help you. It says that thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Holding a grudge against your brothers and sisters is really bad. Bearing a grudge. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He says, I am Jehovah. We've taken the word Lord out of the scriptures, the capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D, because in the Hebrew, most of the time it's Jehovah or Jehovah, and most of the times it's Yah in the Hebrew. Why they put Lord, I don't understand, but that's what they did. We corrected that. Did you know there's going to be this place called heaven is not imaginary? But there's a place called heaven that has nothing to do with the universe. The universe is something God made, so it's beyond the universe, something called heaven. And there's going to be joy in this spiritual place called heaven over... There's always joy there over one sinner that repents. Just one. You know, I know we're not a lot here, and on the internet, you know, there's more of us, but still, compared to what's going on in the world, we're... negligible, you know, very small numbers. The word heaven, I found out, was mentioned 853 times that I could find in Scripture. And when I did a little number playing around, it comes to 16 or 7, which 7 sounds like a good number for heaven. It's just a coincidence. Anyway, in Luke chapter 15, It says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. So you wonder, where was the sophisticated rich people and all the educated and all the millionaires? Where were they at? These were all the publicans and sinners went to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. That's the Pharisees. That's just like them, isn't it? And the scribes. And Yeshua spoke a parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he find it? I would, wouldn't you? And when he finds it, he lays hold on it, and he puts it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says unto them, rejoice with me. I have found my sheep which was lost. That's really important. Yeshua says, I say unto you that likewise joy, just think, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 persons who need no repentance. So when you make a covenant with the God of Israel and you accept the blood of the Messiah and you accept the Messiah who is the mediator of the new covenant, and once you learn what the new covenant is, the new covenant isn't gospels and letters and any of that. The new covenant is written in Jeremiah 31:31 and also Hebrews 8:8. And we'll talk about that later if you don't know what the new covenant is. A lot of people made it books or letters or epistles. That's not the new covenant. Either what woman, here, that's you women out there, if you have 10 pieces of silver and you lose one piece, don't you light a candle and you sweep the house and seek diligently till you find it? I mean, I would too, actually. And when he had found it, he calls his friends and his neighbors saying, when she had found it, she calls her friends and neighbors saying, rejoice with me, I found the piece which I have lost. Likewise, I say unto you, the moral of this story is this joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Just think of that. I mean, in a place that we can't even imagine at the moment, there's joy in this place called heaven if one person repents. They all get, who knows what, how they're rejoicing. Wow, that's an interesting thought. And it's real, too. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Anyone here have two sons? You do. We do. Two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he went to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, but no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when his father saw him a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost, and he was found. And they began to be merry. Isn't that a great story? And that's the kind of attributes we should take on, you know, to seek those lost sheep out there, you know, people that don't know about God or the Messiah. Or just think, the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's the fourth commandment, right? How many people remember the Sabbath day? They don't even know about it at all, right? Now, this guy's elder son, the older son, he was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother's come, and thy father had killed a fatted calf, and because he had received him safe and sound. And this older son was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father and entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve you, neither transgress I any of thy commandment, and yet thou hast never killed me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Ah, the father said unto him, son, don't you understand? Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is yours. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead. He's alive again. And he was lost, and now he's found. It's a great story. And it's a beautiful message. I hope you understood all that. So we have to learn how to cease to... One of the attributes is takes in many sub-attributes. It's to cease to do evil, you know? So you might say, well, how does that? Well, the drunken and the glutton, they're going to come to poverty and drowsiness. People that are lethargic and lethargy, it's going to clothe a person with rags. And as the thorns go up into the hand of a drunkard, you know, a drunkard don't feel anything, right? You can poke them all day long. So there's a parable that should help him in the mouth of fools. They don't understand anything. Now, the Bible doesn't say having a drink or drinking wine is bad or a sin. It's getting drunk, okay? Well, you're not there. You're not home, you know? I'm sure everybody here, I don't know if everyone has ever gotten drunk before. Has it? I don't know, has it? I have. I mean, I confess. But that was a long, long time ago. But that's totally different than having a drink with food, you know, your meal or having a drink. You know, it's no big deal. Anyway, be not... Now, this is a list. I want everyone to take note of this list. Apostle Saul makes his list. And notice how he puts all these people together, which maybe you wouldn't. He says, did you know, don't you know, or did you know not that the unrighteous shall inherit the kingdom of God? They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Unrighteous people. So you might go, what's unrighteous people? What's that? Don't be deceived. Fornication, that's having sexual relations when you're not married. Idolaters, you have idols running around in your heart and mind and maybe in your house. Adulterers, you could do that with God too. You could be an adulterer with your family or with God. Effeminate, nowadays the world made that a third preference when God says that's one of the things you will not enter the kingdom of God. Abusers of themselves with mankind. Thieves, a thief is the same as the rest of these. How about covetous? And how about if you're just thinking about it, you never did it, but you covet in your mind. That's the same thing as you're an idolater or adulterer. That's a scary thing. Or it says, nor drunkards again, nor revilers, nor extortioners. None of these people are going to inherit the kingdom of God. So there's no such thing as a real believer that's a fornicator. You can't be a real believer if you're a thief. How could you be a real believer if you're a drunkard? I mean, in the God of Israel. Now, you can go believe in one of those fake churches. All the churches around here, the people who do all these things. They might even do them in secret that you don't know, but they do them all. And they pray to their Jesus. Tomorrow they'll be all worshiping their Jesus. Isn't that crazy? But anyway, that's what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. What did he write to the Galatians? Paul writes these letters, you know. He didn't have internet sending emails. Paul had to write letters, and they had to be delivered by ship or however. He says, brethren, you have been called unto liberty. We are free from sin, you know, if we allow ourselves not to fall into the ways of Satan. Only let not your liberty for an use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So you have to understand what all these words mean biblically. For all the Torah, the law, is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Right? Now, if you bite and devour one another, what's going to happen? Take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Right? This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So in other words, there's actually two of you, believe it or not. There's the fleshly you and the spiritual you, and you might sometimes feel this tugging, this war, because the fleshly one wants to go do that. You got to go, no, but I fear God, I'm going to go this way, right? Yeah, it's a war. It's a 24-hour-a-day war. It doesn't stop until it's over. If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Just think, you're not under arrest. That's what that means. That means you don't get the penalty. You don't get the repercussions. You don't get thrown in God's jail. You're not under the law. You're not under arrest. Now, the works of the flesh, here's another list by Apostle Paul. No, his name is Saul. He says, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Paul loves lists. Adultery, fornication. He's writing this to the Galatians. Uncleanness. Uncleanness is a big thing now. Lasciviousness, that's like filthy, evil thoughts. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions. If you have any kind of heresies, just think, if you have any kind of heresy, you're equal to a murderer or a thief or an idolater or witchcraft. You're a witch if you have heresies. That's why we have to always prove and make sure we know what we believe and verify it with godly counsel. Otherwise, you might believe something with all your heart, but be wrong. So always verify it with people that are of like-minded faith. Envy, and some people envy other people. Murders. You could murder someone in your heart too, right? There's that drunkenness again. Revelings. Yeah, it's like big-time party blasting, drunken bash. And the such like. But listen what Apostle Paul says. He says, I have told you in the time past, and I'm telling you again, that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Because you couldn't be holy if you're doing any of that stuff. Right? How holy can you be? Without holiness, no one's going to see God. You have to be holy. The fruit of the Spirit, look how different it is. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And the such, there's no law. You're not going to get arrested if you keep the commandments, are you? By God, I'm talking about. And they that are Messiahs have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Simple wisdom. It's beautiful, isn't it? So these are a lot of the attributes, behavior that I'm talking about. That's what the message is all about. The way we're supposed to put on Christ, right? Messiah. And put on his attributes, his personality. And to be like him. And when you do this, you become servant of all. You don't become the big cheese. You become servant of all. Like a lot of people think, some ministers act like they're the big deal. They're supposed to be servant of all. You know? I always tell people, we're always available. Call me. My number is available. Call me. I've heard I'm one of the only people that answer the phone. Most messianists don't even answer the phone, or most anybody in the religious world. You try to call them up, leave a message. You know, you get that message. Anyway, Ecclesiastes, which is Kohelet in Hebrew, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Like recently, they had some little made-up holidays running around here in America and around the world, and we didn't follow them. Now there's a big difference between holidays that have to do with God, which we don't do, but just flat-out holidays that America made up. They're neither here nor there. And as long as they don't have nothing to do with God, it doesn't mean anything. You know, it doesn't mean anything. But the other ones we definitely don't do, the ones that have God in it. Everybody see the difference between those?
Yeah.
In other words, if somebody says to me, Happy New Year, I go, Happy New Year to you too. Because obviously it's a Pope Gregory New Year. But it has nothing to do with God. But when God's New Year shows up, I say Happy New Year too, like in March or April. Happy New Year. And they look at me like, he is crazy. No, I said, no, that's what God says. Anyway, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline against, to decline after any to rest, which is pervert judgment. So you're not supposed to go along with the crowd to pervert judgment if they're all trying to slander somebody and they're all in it together and they're all going this way. You're not supposed to join them. You understand?
This is,
thou shalt not follow multitude. No, excuse me, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. This is Exodus.
I was going to say, that's almost word for word in Exodus.
Hey, thank you, thank you, thank you. That was not Kohelet, that was not Ecclesiastes, that was Shemot, Exodus, okay? Very good. In the book of Isaiah, Yeshayahu, Navi Yeshayahu, okay? How's that sound? It says, wash you, make you clean, put away evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. And you have to learn, it's a learning process, to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. God says, come now and let us reason together. That's what my sign says out there. Not too many people come out and reason with us. I said, come and let's reason together, saith Jehovah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But the other side of the coin is, if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of Jehovah hath spoken it. Fret. What does fret mean? To feel or express worry, annoyance, discontent, or the like. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. Right? Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Why? Because they're going to be soon cut down as the grass. You ever cut grass in your life? I cut lots of grass on my property, and it goes whoop right down. But the wicked are going to be just like that. They're going to be soon cut down as the grass and wither as the green herb. So we don't fret ourselves because of evildoers. Trust in Jehovah and do good. So shall you dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight yourself in Jehovah, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. That's a beautiful promise. Commit your works unto Jehovah. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as light, as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in Jehovah, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings the wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, So if you get angry, the Bible says anger rests in the bosom of a fool. Don't be swift to be angry. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. He says this again in Psalms. Evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon Jehovah shall inherit the new earth one of these days. There'll be a new earth, not renewed, new. Okay? For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently seek his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Now, you guys know all this. The wicked, they always plot against the just, right? And they try to gnash upon you with their teeth. Jehovah's going to laugh at them, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent the bow. These are all metaphors, like picturesque, you know. He says, the wicked have drawn out the sword, they have bent the bow, they have cast down the poor and needy, to slay such as be of upright conversation. God says their sword is going to enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous person has is better than the riches of many wicked, right? Of course. You know, I was listening to a lot of Psalms this morning. The arms of the wicked shall be broken, but Jehovah upholds the righteous. Jehovah knows the days of the upright, and his inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. So we don't worry about any of these things that go on in the world, because we believe God is in control. God is in control of his people. And I hope you believe that too. It says, we'll even be satisfied in famine. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of Jehovah shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borrows. They do. The wicked get lots of loans, and they never make, a lot of people, they don't pay their loans, and they pay not again. But the righteous shows mercy and gives. You know, you couldn't be really a person of the God of Israel if you're delinquent, if you don't pay your bills, if you get repossessed, if you get foreclosed, if you, because all those people that at the office there, when you don't pay your bills, they go, this guy says he believes in God. He's a liar. Your testimony gets wiped out when you don't pay your bills. They go, that guy says he believes in God, but he doesn't do what he says. Bad. That means you're not the light of the world. Anyway, for such as be blessed of God shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man or woman are ordered by Jehovah, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Jehovah upholds him with his hands. I have been young, and now I'm old. But one thing I can tell you, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Like all those people you see on the road, the bums, I call them the bums. You know, they're not the God of Israel. Those are people that didn't want to go to work. But God's people will never be doing that, begging bread. That's because God will take care of you. But all these other people, you know, so we see lots of people out there, they go, oh, we love God, but they don't do nothing he says. He's ever merciful, and he lends, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. I see this term, do good. It sounds so simple, but it's really important to do good in everything you do, everything you say, to do good. If you can hold that thought, that's an important one. Jehovah loves judgment, and he forsakes not his saints, but you have to believe that. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of judgment. I hope you're understanding what this study is all about today. This is the kind of personality, the attributes, the behavior you're supposed to have if you're a godly person. You're supposed to, like, the law of God is supposed to be in your heart, and none of your steps are going to slide. The wicked are always watching us. They seek to, they want to, they'd rather like to slay us. People get so mad when we talk about the Sabbath. I don't know if that ever happened to you. I've seen people that were really nice. Then I mentioned, hey, we're going to keep the Sabbath today. You want to, they like just go crazy. Jehovah will not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he's judged. So we have to learn how to wait on Jehovah and keep his way. And he'll exhort you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you're going to see it. And this is what I'm sure everyone sees all the time. I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a big green bay tree, you know, like real mighty. These people think they're so mighty. However, yet they pass away, and lo, they're not found. Yea, I sought him, and he could not be found. So, don't worry about all these people that look like they're prospering and they're just doing so great and they don't keep the commandments. Their time is going to run. Everyone's going to meet the Lord one day. Can't escape that. Whether you believe it or not, like it or not, you're still going to meet the Lord, right? You better do what he says. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright. You could, and the goal, the end, the telos of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of Jehovah. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Jehovah will help them and deliver them. He will deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Another attribute. Attributes and personalities of people of God are all through this study. I hope you're getting what I'm talking about. So don't fret yourself because of evil men, and don't be envious at the wicked. For there's going to be no reward to the evil person. The candle of the wicked is going to be put out. Yeah. So here's a little bit of instruction. My study's almost over. It's not real too long today, but I wanted to make sure you got a little bit of... I wanted to start Pope Gregory's New Year with, let's all put on the personality of God and all the attributes of God, and be lights of the world, even though we're really in the 10th month of God, Tevet, the 11th day. That's really important to remember. Paul tells the Galatians, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite, again, I read this before, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed you be not consumed one of another. And I read all this before, walk in the Spirit. Everybody understands the spirit and the flesh, right? It's two different parts of you, right? I read all this before. So we'll just move on. It says, if you love Jehovah, okay, you're supposed to hate evil. So it's okay to hate, but make sure you hate it evil. God preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Now, these are six things that Jehovah God hates. Seven of them are an abomination. So you know, this is a little list here of seven things. A proud look God hates. God hates a lying tongue. He hates hands that shed innocent blood. He hates a heart that devises wicked imaginations. He hates feet that are swift to go do bad things, mischief. God hates a false witness that speaks lies. And he hates anyone that sows discord among the brothers and sisters. He hates that. Just think of that. If you actually think about that, this is the God that created the whole universe we're talking about. He hates that. Wow. That's a different way of looking at it. It's not like just God hates it. We're talking about this entity that it's beyond all of us, that these things you don't want to do because that's the one you're going to meet. You're not going to meet the Easter Bunny.
No.
You're not going to meet Santa Claus. You're going to meet the one who drowned the world. You're going to end up meeting the one that destroyed cities. I went to Sodom and Gomorrah. It's definitely melted. I was there. It didn't look like any place I ever seen. It looked like somebody melted the mountains. You know when something melts and stops and melts and stops and melts? That's what they looked like. And it was all ash, and there's no volcanoes there. It's like weird. I was in Israel, and I was like, God said he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sin. And if you go there, you'll see a place that's barren. Nothing. It's just like you want to go out of there. You want to get out of there. Anyway, it's a reminder for those that shall live ungodly, the Bible says. It's a reminder. We're not supposed to render evil for evil, right? Or railing for railing. You don't have to get the last word. For what? What does it really matter in the scheme of things? But contrary-wise, you're supposed to, you hope you put blessing you want, right? Knowing that you're there called, that you should inherit a blessing. Now remember, even the angels that are greater in power bring not railing accusation against them before Jehovah. So we don't bring accusations against brothers and sisters either, right? Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, the devil was trying to dispute about the body of Moses and durst not bring against him a railing accusation. Michael didn't even bother talking to him. He just said, "The Lord rebuke you." That's saying. You don't have conversations with the devil. You just say, "The Lord, God rebuke you in the name of Messiah." So that's something this is an attribute you have to have. You probably never heard this in a church before. You have to learn how to hate evil, that is. Look what David says. He says, "I hate them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in Jehovah." If you observe lying vanities, you forsake your own mercy. Lying vanities. That means, well, obviously, all these holidays that just came by, they're all imaginary. There's no such thing. They don't even exist. They're all made up. So you observe them, you're forsaking your own mercy. Scripture tells us we're supposed to be the light supposed to shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, right? You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. But if the salt lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. You're supposed to be the light of the world, right? So if your testimony, people are watching you from a distance, maybe you don't even realize they're watching you. That's why you always have to be a testimony in what you say, how you act, where you go, what you do. You have to be a testimony because you're saying you're the believer of the God of Israel. You're a member of his club. So how could you be the light of the world if you're doing the wrong stuff, you know, the wrong thing? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, right? Neither do men light a candle and you puts it under a bushel or on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all the house. You have to let your light, this is a really important attribute, let your light shine before everyone that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And in closing, this is not a long message today, but I wanted to make sure you don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Right? That's really important. Somebody's doing all kind of stuff to you? Send them a donut. Buy them a... Do them, you know, do something nice. Don't render evil for evil. Don't. Anyway, that's not a long study today. And you guys probably forgot, but these people are all around the world here listening. All these people. I want to say Shabbat Shalom to everyone out there. And may God bless you on this day. We're in the 10th month of God, the 11th day, Tevet. And of course, it's the Gregorian New Year, which we can't, you obviously can't ignore that because you have to write all your checks out like that. And you have to set up all your schedules, right? You can't really get away from 2015. Even though if you do a study on the calendars, and I was trying to bring that up to someone last week, but didn't really mean anything. I was trying to say, back in the early times, some emperors made 25 days a month. Some calendars only had 10 months a year. And they keep changing everything. But we ended up with this calendar, Pope Gregory's, and we can't really do too much about it. But I always try to make sure you understand God has his own calendar. So try to find that in the Bible. It's right, and if you can't, go to my website. Anyway, may God bless you today. May God be with you, and may God nourish you spiritually and physically. And may God keep you in his hands. And may God take away anything that's corrupt out of our minds, hearts, and souls, and fill us only with truth. May God bless you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Study is over, so I'm going to stop the recording.